Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Susan Rubin, whose play Liana and Ben is playing at the Atwater Village Theater. Susan has had her work produced at New York Theater Workshop, Baltimore Center Stage, Los Angeles Theater Center, Padua Hills Playwrights Festival, Bootleg Theater, and now Circle X. She's received nominations and awards from all kinds of people, from the Garlands to the LA Weeklies to the Ovations, as well as online awards, including the Ticketholder Award for Best Play, Production, and Actor for Bitch. She's also written 20 documentary shorts for Ms. Magazine, from Early Childhood Marriage, The Taliban, The Rise of the Radical Right, Campus Rape, Voter Suppression, The Rise of Domestic Violence, and Threat to Roe v. Wade, and many, many more. So welcome, Susan.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. Your play, Liana and Ben, is a very fun and fresh take on characters from Greek mythology, among other places. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how that original idea began to come together for you.
Sure. Okay. So it's actually, I don't want to give too much away, but it's okay. They can come and see it. It actually began as a Faust. It is a play about a woman who makes a deal with the devil, and the deal has come due. And so it becomes mythologically Greek. When the solution to her problem lies in Greek mythology, because she's made a deal with, I'm going to call it the devil, although, you know, you can call it the devil or you can just call it the dark. She's made a Faustian bargain, so that would be the biblical devil. And to resolve the problem, they go down to Hades, where the Greek devil, Hades, lives. And it becomes an ensemble piece about what the situation, about the world. And the devil in my play has become weary of his job because he is so disheartened about human beings that he doesn't want to go on. So where it came from for me is I thought a lot about what it is to be a woman in this environment, I'll say in this society, what aging does to people in Hollywood, but everywhere. It's not really just here. What, you know, aging out of your prettiness, aging out of your body type, and what would you do? Would you sell your soul to get some more time? And in this case, the answer is yes. And this woman, my leading lady, meets the devil in the French Revolution. So the play includes traveling back and forth through times in history. While she tries to prove to him that she's met her part of the bargain, which is to find him some hope in humanity. And it's very, I know this will sound like a non sequitur, it's very sexy. She has a relationship, it's very, you know, I'll be in trouble for this. I don't care. She has a relationship with an astrophysicist who we have three competing mythologies. Do you believe in Greek mythology? Probably no one in our audience will be, But the Persephone myth is in there, and it's close to my heart because my mother wandered around pretending to look for me and didn't. So it's got the Persephone myth, and, you know, Persephone is raped by her uncle, and her father says, oh, that's okay, I don't care. So it's got a lot of family and rape issues, but the first part of it is about our protagonist. The devil is in love with her. And he believes in her, and he believes there can be some hope, which is a twist on the Faustian bargain.
Right.
And then the astrophysicist also adores her and shows her the Hubble telescope and talks to her about the possibility of other universes and other time and what time and space is. So it's kind of the best thing to do is to come to the theater and watch the sex, because I think that it's gentle and it's delicate and it's from a woman's point, you know, nobody hits anybody in the head and there's no rape. It's just lovely. And the relationships between the men and the women are very, I was going to say equal, but of course she's made a deal with the devil and he has a lot more power than she does. The power she has is that the devil is so disheartened by the brutality of humanity that he doesn't want to be the devil anymore, and she's his way out. I don't want to say more than that. Then the astrophysicist points out to them there are parallel universes where dogs don't chase down cats and bite them, and I shouldn't be anti-dog, where lions don't have to eat a gazelle while it's still alive and its liver is pumping. The lion can go to the lion food store. which is, this is my personal psychosis. I can't stand the cycle of life and the eating things, and I don't understand why coyotes don't go to the store and get a can of coyote food. And there's a lot in this that it sounds insane, but actually the astrophysicist points out to them, these are all stories. You know, the devil is a story. I have never seen anyone hopping around with their pitchfork and their little hooves and all of that. These are stories about how human beings are. And the Greek mythology really does allow rape to be, I mean, the story of Persephone is a rape story. And so, but I don't want it to sound grim to people. We've managed to make it, I wouldn't call it funny, but I would say that I have found a happy ending to the problem of why life here is so brutal. And the happy ending is there's other possibilities and there's always someone to love in a loving way. And so it's very, very sweet sexually. And of course, there's a lot of nectar once they get to the underworld. And it's intriguing from my point of view, because I started to want to just write what I told you. What do you do when you begin to see the wrinkles and you just can't stand it? You call on the devil and say, what do I give you to get rid of this? And that's how it started, and then it morphed into a lot of mythological issues about women and men and sex. I hate to say that again. And then it came out,
it's,
I should be
playful.
Fair. It's very, very playful. And the set, I just watched it for the first time. You don't walk in and see a little house or even a big house. You know, we're not attempting anything like naturalism. The naturalism is that the relationships are pretty grounded in love, which is, I know that sounds weird, but they are. Everybody loves each other in the play, although one of them, you know, wants to travel into outer space and go to where time and space connect, and many of them are having multiple relationships. I'm not making a commercial here for monogamy. I'm making a commercial for love and for finding ways to make the world a gentler place, because it can't get much meaner.
Okay, so let's talk about how you're being stationed at Circle X here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What was the process of getting connected with them like? Are you already connected with them, or how did that work?
I will make a commercial for Tim Wright. I've known Tim for 10 years. He is, in my mind, one of the great human beings in L.A. theater, as well as being a really, really excellent actor and just an amazing producer, so even keel. It's like I told him today, it was like dealing with a rabbi. I, of course, don't have a rabbi, but I had worked with Tim. I work with Mark Bringelson as my director. We have a really nice ongoing collaboration. This is our fourth play together, and part of it is because he knows what I'm trying to write sometimes before I do. So he'll push me to say, just write your dreams, sweetie. Your dreams are totally insane. People will like them. Write them. So Mark and I had done a workshop with Tim a couple of years ago at Bootleg, and then Bootleg and Circle X coordinated their schedule so that Tim could not be in both. He couldn't do the Circle X show and our show, so he had to drop out of our show. And I had been wanting ever since to work with him, so when I wrote the first draft, I sent it to him and said, would you like to help us develop this play? I wrote a role for him, which really captures his kindness and his, he's a comforting human being, and he's also extremely attractive. That's what I wanted. So I sent him the script, and he said, come on out here. I said, you know, come to my house. We're going to do a table read. He said, no, bring the play out here. And from then forward, we developed it out here, and I managed to beg and plead often enough that he agreed to play the part, because he's busy. He has a four-year-old child, and he has all this stuff going on. He runs this theater, but he is in the play, and he is sort of a linchpin. So, but all of the, we discovered two people when we started doing readings and workshops. I don't like to do plays that only have white people in them. It's offensive to my sensibility. It's very hard to multicast in this city, because a lot of the really good actors that are not white are happily getting work at this point. They're getting more work than they've gotten before. So I've had a hard time. We had a leading lady who was also African American. She got a medical problem. That's different. But we found a Latino to play the Faustian, the devil character, and he's unbelievable. And it's very important to me that casts not be all one color any more than I would want to do a play with only one, you know, one person, I guess. So
right.
We developed it out here, and Circle X has a certain, you know, glory to it. And the actors, it's the first time I've worked with actors who actually, everybody happens to get along. I've done a lot of plays in my life, in them or writing them. It's hard. And when it happens, it's so much more fun to explore. You know, it's hard to have sex on stage with someone that you wish would drop dead. So we don't have that. We have people who are kind of like, yeah, let's do that scene over again. That was nice. So the process out here has been heavenly. I've worked at Bootleg. They are the most wonderful people on the planet, Alicia Adams and Jessica and Jason. But we had done three plays there, and the offer to come to Circle X was just so wonderful because Tim is amazing, you know, in every way.
Sweet. So, was there any other developmental work you did on the play before the Bootleg, or was it the Bootleg and then pretty much Circle X?
No, we came straight to Circle X because Bootleg was, you know, they have a concert thing there every night, and so you're constrained to 7:30 to 9, and then you have to be out. And this play actually will probably be an hour and a half, including intermission, but it just felt like time to move on. I was going to tell you something else wonderful about working here. Well, you can pick up street traffic here, you know what I mean? Bootleg, the people going to Bootleg for music probably are not going to go see a play. They're there to hear music. But the people out here at Atwater Village Theater, you know, you pick up people who are coming to see the Echo. It's a nice community. It's the nicest community. And it feels like you're doing theater again. And I've been doing this with him since Equity came to town, which is all I'll say, because I thought that was not fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, so I wonder if you would talk about sort of a devil's advocate question.
Sure.
But out of curiosity, do you feel that humanity is worth saving? Do you feel like this is something?
Oh, you asked me that question. Okay, sweetie,
yeah.
I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you the God's honest. About halfway through the development of the play, I started to cry. We were doing a reading, you know, halfway through the development, and I started to cry, and I went outside. And again, I mean, Mark and I are so melded at the hip that he knew what I was crying about. I didn't even have to tell him. And Tim came out and said, "Why are you crying? The scenes went really well." And I said, I can't write the second half where I show some hope. And he said, "You're the most hopeful person I've ever known." And I don't know why that snapped it for me, but it snapped it. And so I was able to find a way to say, do I think there's hope? I think there is hope. But I also, when I see certain, I'm not going to mention anything political to America because people must be so bored with it. And all it does is give me a stomachache. But when I hear about dog eating festivals, no, I don't have any hope. All I can think of, I'm very much one of the obviously, I'm in all five characters, but one character in particular just can't even hear the words about dog eating festivals. And that's how I feel about it is I understand it in Africa where people eat a dog because it passes by and they haven't had anything to eat in 6 months. I don't understand having festivals to invite tourists, but that's, you know, I can go into what's been happening to women. The thing that I realized writing this was that I had written 20 documentaries for Ms. Magazine, and those documentaries are not about how well things are going internationally for women. They're the opposite. They're informational about what's going on internationally for women and in this country. And the news is difficult, you know. So you can look at it and go, okay, a female just won the election. Whether she's president or not is not my fault, but a female did win the election, and that's great, but they also took it away from her. So I'm hopeful, but I also feel like we all have to work really hard now to push for equality among all people. I'm not a womanist, I'm a feminist, and so the distinction I make is I don't think all women are so great. I've seen women do things to their housekeeper or their child or their dog that I thought, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a kind of human being, and they could be male very easily, who has worked on some intelligence and some kindness. because I think that's where the hope is now, is that we all learn how to say, I am personally so tired of seeing homeless people. It makes me so sad to crawl into my warm, toasty home with my cats and, you know, everything I have, and then to get in the car and drive down the street and see people living in a tent in a deluge of rain. It makes me so unhappy that I lose hope, and then I remember hope. I always manage to remember hope because people do wonderful things for each other. And also, because if you write enough sexual scenes into it that are gentle and happy and funny and joyful, and you write enough stuff in, I don't want to upset the alcoholics in the audience, but if you write enough in about people having a bottle of champagne before they spend the weekend together, yeah, there's hope. There's plenty of joy in the world. You just have to not forget the balance. You know what I mean? I don't want to be drinking champagne and having a great sexual experience while people out on the street are dying. It just doesn't work. So that was the dilemma for me, was do I think there's hope? And Tim said, I've never seen anyone so hopeful. And so I got hope. So, yeah, I'm hopeful.
All right, well, in a completely different direction, I always like to finish up by asking people what they're working on next and what we might be able to look forward to from you.
Oh, my. Okay. The next thing I'm working on is something called 92nd March, and it'll be a series that'll go into a bunch of platforms. And what it'll be, it's not a play. The next thing I'm going to do is a series of 90-second documentaries so that people who have been involved in, I'll call it the resistance to the current administration, people who have been involved in that are always looking for the next thing to be involved. And then they also could use some information about how did we get here. You know what I mean? This was peculiar. I don't think anyone expected us to be here. So the 92nd March is a takeoff on Keep Marching, but it'll be 90 seconds worth of information about the issues that are coming up now, that are coming up hard, like Roe v. Wade will definitely go back to the Supreme Court under this administration. So we'll do 90 seconds about if you're worried about that, here's places you could work with or things you could do. And the other issues, they're just not happy issues, you know. Violence against women is going to rise under the current circumstances. And certainly violence against people of color, blah, blah, blah. This doesn't sound hopeful. The next thing I'm going to do is a series of documentary shorts. I'd like to see how this play resounds with people because it is what I said. It's a mixture of dark and very, very light. Dark and very colorful and fun. You will not leave the theater depressed. You will leave the theater hopeful, and then you can go and depress yourself, which is what I like to do at night. So what I'll do next is go back to my, you know, political documentary writing, and that will give me the impetus to write the next play. Right now, this is huge. This is, you know, we cover 4 centuries of human history flying around on a spaceship with the devil, the old devil, the new devil, a kid who's been sent by Zeus to her devil uncle. There's a lot in this play, so I want to go back and replenish my mind, because right now, I've said everything I had to say, and I think I've said it articulately. I can't say people will like it or not like it, but I've worked very hard to make an articulate statement about just what you asked me. Yes, I have a lot of hope, but I think there's a lot of stuff people have to look at.
I agree, and I think sometimes just to address a point that you've made a couple times is like, I don't think it's not hopeful to bring up things that may be challenging. Maybe the hope is located in the sharing it, or in the building of community around it, or something like that.
I think that's what a lot of
people are finding these days. So
I totally agree.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and I do thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on having such a cool organization. Very
thank
cool
you
organization.
Very much. Rhiannon Benn plays at the Atwater Village Theater through March 26th, with previews beginning on February 16th. And it features Kimberly Alexander, Daryl Larson, Mara Marini, Jonathan Medina, and Tim Wright, and it's directed by Mark Bringelson. For more information about tickets, please go to www.circlextheater.org and click on the ticket link. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.